There's crispy. And then there's crispy-er. Try our new and improved Tyson Crispy Chicken Strips. Crispy just got crispy-er.
Welcome to College Football Live.
And here we are in Hoover, day two of SEC Media Days coming your way. They say it just means more. And just in case you didn't know, it's on the Hyatt Regency out there. Kirby Smart here today with Georgia, Texas A&M, of course, also here as well. We will talk about both schools. And Kirby Smart looks like he didn't have to sign anything weird there. Sometimes people will put their head out and say, autograph my head. Joey Galloway does things like that. Greg McElroy doesn't approve. I'm Laura Rutledge. We'll be with you for College Football Live here. And guys, a lot of the talk around Georgia today. So we're going to get right to it. Does that work for you?
Works for me.
I just wanted you to say something.
Are you on the Bulldogs this year?
Yeah.
In the East, yes.
Okay. A little teaser. So this is what happened last year in the SEC championship game. They lost to Alabama. Greg, that sour taste still very much in their mouths now.
Oh, it lingers, man. Especially knowing, too, they played so well against Tua Tagovailoa. They really limited the passing game, and they had Bama on the ropes, if not for kind of a suspect fake punt there on fourth down. I think a lot of dogs feel as though they would have won the SEC championship, and the heroics of Jalen Hurts, Joey, were pretty remarkable.
Yeah, I don't know who else there is in the East that would dethrone Georgia in the East. And they don't have to play Alabama. So they're sitting in a pretty good spot to at least win the East.
They were 11-3 in 2018. They did lose to Texas in that Sugar Bowl as well. Kirby Smart talking today about trying to get past that as well. Jake Fromm, their quarterback, he's so consistent. Second in the SEC in total QBR, completion percentage and touchdown passes. Also, the number two recruiting class in 2019 that they brought in 16 ESPN 300 recruits, including linebacker Nolan Smith. Kirby Smart talked today about getting over beating Alabama.
The next step for us, and I don't mean this to be trite, but it's Vanderbilt. You have to get to that point because we don't have Alabama on our schedule. We know that Alabama's been very powerful in this conference for a long time. We respect the job they do. Got a lot of respect for Coach Saban and his program. I probably wouldn't be here today if it weren't for him. But I also understand that we've got a really good program too. We've been able to recruit at a high level. I'm excited about this team we've got coming back. And biggest thing is concerning ourselves with us and not concerning ourselves with somebody else.
Georgia quarterback Jake Fromm here. And look, Jake, I'm sure you've been asked a million times about Alabama, but we're going to continue that on because your coach Kirby Smart was asked about it earlier today, and he talked about just the motto of do more and how that relates to getting over that hump of beating Alabama. What are your thoughts when it comes to the Crimson Tide?
Yeah, great football program. You know, Coach Smart, he came from them. You know, we try to model a lot of things, you know, after them and their program. So, you know, when you play them, obviously you want to go out and you want to compete. Anybody you play, you want to go out and compete and you want to win. And, you know, Coach Smart, you know, we coached against, you know, Coach Saban, and people make it a lot bigger deal than it is. You know, it's just a football game. You know, we've been playing a football game since I was 7 years old. A lot of kids, you go out and you go play football games. And for us this offseason, not being able to get over the hump, it's like, hey, let's go out. Let's go do more. We've been doing a lot more during the winter, during a lot more during the summer. We're going to continue to do more during camp and can't wait to start the season.
Yeah, when you think about do more, a lot of that is on your shoulders, and right, specifically with a receiving core that is a little bit younger, especially with some recent departures. What have you been doing on your own time to develop your chemistry with those guys? What does that look like for
right,
you?
We've been getting with the receivers behind closed doors, like, hey, let's go have some one-on-one time. Let's get on the board. Let's try to, hey, you know, what route do you have here? Let's get in the playbook, really dive in. Let's get the signals down, you know, make sure, you know, if I need to signal them, signal in the game and practice, you know, we have all that down. And out there on the field during 7-on-7, it's trying to get the best reps possible for those guys. You know, those guys need to go out and they need reps. So how can I, you know, get them a ball they need? How can I get them the dig route they need, the out route, make sure they're getting that rep and doing that. And after that, it's, hey, you know, what are we doing more after that? You know, let's go throw some one-on-ones against the DBs. Let's go get some fade balls. Let's go get some out cuts here, some in cuts, some slants, you know, whatever it is, you know, we're getting out. We're trying to do as much as we can to get those guys ready.
So one of the things that Coach Smart told us earlier today as well is that you are comparable in his mind to Tim Tebow in a lot of ways, but specifically with how you handle defeat and how your leadership continues to grow no matter what comes your way. You've had some low points after some losses during your career, obviously some really high points as well, but what is it about your ability to bounce back that you think helps you on the field?
Yeah, I think it comes down to a lot to my support group. I have a amazing group of people around me, you know, my friends, my family, my pastor, my coaches, my teammates, you know, so many different people who help feed into me. And I think I just kind of get on their shoulders and they just kind of help lift me up and come out ready to attack and ready to go compete and ready for the next thing.
I don't think that it's fair to even look back at your career so far and mention the word overlooked, because you have gotten a lot of love for what you've done, but it does feel like you haven't always gotten the credit that maybe you deserve for what you've done with a Georgia offense that really has had some great playmakers around you. But this year, you're not being overlooked. People are talking about you could be a Heisman contender. People are talking about you being on a team that could be competing for the national championship. How do you handle that a little more of the spotlight on you this season?
Well, thank you for the things you just said. You know, I really appreciate that. You know, but for me, it's, hey, I'm going to go have tunnel vision. You know, I'm not going to listen to the outside noise. You know, that's for a lot of other people to talk about. You know, that's not what's being talked about, you know, in our football building. You know, for us, it's, hey, I'm going to go in. I'm going to try to be a better leader this year, be a better teammate. I'm going to go serve my teammates, you know, help them say, hey, this is the leader we're really buying into. Going to be a good football player. You know, I'm training. I'm doing all these different things and really just preparing for the season and being closed-minded about everything else.
What are your goals for you this year when you look back on this season and say, yep, I had a successful year?
Yeah, I mean, for me, that's all about team goals. And team goals for us right now is, hey, let's go win every single football game we play in. Let's go have a great camp and let the rest take care of itself.
Thanks so much, Jake.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
Fromm has been the model of consistency in his 2 years in Athens. He put up almost identical numbers his sophomore season after a true freshman season where he became the starter in week two. What would surprise you more, Joey and Greg? Georgia wins the SEC, which might mean beating Alabama, whoever the West representative is, or fails to win the SEC East?
I'd be really surprised if they didn't win the SEC East. That gap between them and Alabama is razor thin, and it's only gotten a little bit tighter over the last couple of years with the way Georgia's recruited. They also have a lot of experience coming back off a team that's been so close to doing it. But then I look at the SEC East and the landscape. Yeah, all seven teams, they might be better than they were a year ago. However, Georgia's, really, their hold on that side of the league is pretty significant. Florida be second, but the gap between them and Georgia feels pretty significant.
Yeah, and I agree with you, Greg. If they did not get to the SEC championship game, I think everyone would basically be stunned because of the gap. I agree the East has gotten better, but there isn't a team in the East that you look at and say that this team should beat Georgia. And so Georgia talented, and you bring back Jake Fromm, what you talked about, and you're right, he has been overlooked somewhat. And you asked him that question, but he's a very talented quarterback, and he is about as solid of a guy. He's just not flashy. He doesn't do great things out there, but he is consistent. He plays good football. And receivers, we don't know who's going to be out there.
Yeah.
Holloman is back, but they lose a lot of guys on the outside. So we believe that they've recruited well and can replace the guys on the outside. You got Swift in the backfield. They'll be a very talented football team.
I can live with rookie receivers. Like, if I'm a guy that's played a million games like Jake Fromm has, he's seen the bullets flying out of him from every which way. Like, he is very comfortable back there. That I know that, yeah, that group we saw in the spring that was maybe a little shaky, that group's going to be a lot better because they've been taken by Jake Fromm over the last couple months in 7-on-7s and air it out type of situations, and they've really refined their craft. So I'm not concerned about the inexperienced wideout.
Yeah, even without Jeremiah Holloman, you know that you have DeAndre Swift, which at least gives you a ton of confidence. Okay, everything's bigger in Texas. At least that's what they say. We're talking about schools in the state of Texas, starting with Jimbo Fisher, who was here today in Hoover. We catch up with him as well as that other school in Texas in the Big 12. That would be the Texas Longhorns. Sam Ellinger has not been respected, and he answered those questions today. The ACC Network is coming August 22nd. Visit getaccn.com to check availability. And if you don't see your provider listed, demand they carry ACC Network. We'll be right back.
College Football Live is brought to you by Dave and Buster's, the only place to eat, drink,
play, and watch sports.
His opinion on anything winning, you know, Westlake's a great program, but the two best quarterbacks come out of there are Drew Brees and Nick Foles. Sam can stay down there in Texas.
I like it. Good stuff.
That'll stir the pot. He doesn't like me, and I hope he knows I don't like him either.
One year, they signed 3 5A quarterbacks. Two are now gone. And one that's playing, he ain't that good. And I'm like, really? 5A? You watch them throw the football, and you go, man, alive. What are they? Like, they go there, and they can't throw the football.
Baker Mayfield and Terry Bradshaw with some criticism for Texas quarterback Sam Ehlinger. If you ask Tom Herman, his head coach, might be a little biased, but the numbers do show that Ehlinger has been quite productive for the Longhorns. They were asked about this criticism at Big 12 Media Days, and both Herman and Ehlinger had these responses.
It's completely irrelevant in my mind. I'm very focused on taking care of what I can control, the internal events that go on with my teammates, my team, myself, and making us better. So all that's outside noise, and it's pretty irrelevant.
You know, Sam loves to play with a chip on his shoulder, and I'm sure he'll use this to crank it up a notch. But it is, again, it's pretty irrelevant in terms of how it affects our program. We're worried about our program.
We're back here in Hoover, Joey Galloway and Greg McElroy here. And look, I will say this. I don't think there's any doubt that Texas is going to use that as motivation, and they'll continue to do that. But let's talk about Sam Ehlinger here, Greg. Is he the best quarterback in the Big 12?
I really like what he did last year. I watched him as a freshman. I thought, you know, I'm not 100% sold. They might have to go find their guy in the future. He proved us wrong last year. I mean, he just got better and better and better and delivered in big games. And then the final game of the year against a really good defense in Georgia, he played very solid football as well. But the guy I don't think anyone in the Big 12 is talking about, and we aren't talking about as national analysts, guys, Brock Purdy for Iowa State.
I like it.
He's got a chance to be really special. Inserted in the lineup middle of the year, finishes the regular season 6-1, including some big-time upset wins, and then goes, plays pretty well against Washington State team. They end up losing that game, but this is a freshman last year, true freshman that I'm not sure anyone thought would see the field, even those Iowa State coaches. And the biggest leap you make as a quarterback is between that first year and that second year. So keep an eye on Brock Purdy coming from kind of, I would say, somewhat obscurity to become maybe that first team all Big 12 quarterback at season's end.
I like Purdy. He makes plays that normal quarterbacks don't make.
Yeah.
But at times he looks like a freshman and you expect that. But Ehlinger, I think when people seen the numbers on the ground, I will bet you a lot of people were surprised that his numbers were so good. Mm-hmm. We're talking about counting for 41 touchdowns. I mean, that is impressive. His only problem was Kyler Murray was in the same league.
Right.
And Kyler Murray rips off 60-yard runs, making 12 guys miss. And all of a sudden, that's on SportsCenter. So we don't hear about Ehlinger and how good he was because he's simply not flashy. Unfortunately, in today's world, Greg, guys like you pay attention to the social media stuff, the top 10 plays stuff. And yeah, you don't see Ehlinger in those plays, but at the end of the day, he knows how to win. Now, if Texas can just get over the Oklahoma hump, beat them last year but didn't win the Big 12, if they can win the Big 12, it's the same, sort of the same conversation we're having about Georgia.
Right.
If these teams get over the hump, then the quarterback gets a lot more credit, but Ehlinger is a heck of a player.
So it's interesting you mentioned Oklahoma, because neither one of you said Jalen Hurts would be the best quarterback in the Big 12, but we agree that he's not.
His own coach said he hasn't won the job yet. Yeah.
There we go. So maybe he's not the starter.
We're
just taking Lincoln Riley at his word. Let's talk about another school in the state of Texas, and that would be the Texas A&M Aggies. They're coming off a 9-win season and lots of hype around this team with Kellen Mond returning as a quarterback. Jimbo Fisher sat with us earlier, and this is what he had to say about his expectations heading into his second year as the head coach there. Texas A&M head coach Jimbo Fisher joining us here. And coach, it just feels like all everybody's talking about is expectations for anybody, and that's the case here at Media Days. But for your team, especially with what you did last year in year one, they're very high. So how do you manage that, knowing that you already had high expectations for your group?
Well, I think you have to learn to embrace. I think that's part of being a championship team. you have to embrace that culture that we're expected to have success. We know we're going to have success now, but more importantly, how do you have success? I think it's like I say, everybody says we want to win, we want to be good, but I think embracing the grind, as I say, and learning to understand to put yourself in position that when those moments come, you can play. And I think that's where I think we're growing. I think those guys now are understanding what we want and how we want it.
You were impressed by the way that Kellen Mond last year really took everything by the horns, mm-hmm. came to you and said he wanted to learn even more about your offense. He already showed some of that early on, but what progression have you seen from him even since then that encourages you?
You know, I think in the spring is recognition of things and recognition when he got the matchups he wanted. You know what I mean? All right, there's one thing knowing to play. All right, and this is coverage tells me I can go here. But then on certain coverages, you may have two different match. You know, sometimes on that, when they get soft cover, they get in quarters, they get in 3 hour. Which guy gives me the best matchup outside? Which guy gives me the opportunity to hit the best deep ball? You know what I mean? And knowing when to take that shot. It's second and eight here. I may not want to go as deep here. You know, it's first and 10. I got an opportunity to throw a deep ball. I may want to look there. I think those things, those little things like as a coach, you see, those are the conversations we're having. And he's coming to me with that information, which really excites me.
Coach, with a schedule that has Georgia and LSU on the road, and then just for fun, you threw in Clemson in there. But I'm going a different direction. What do you say to people in the country that say, how dare you guys line up and play Texas State or UTSA, you know, or Lamar with a schedule as loaded as you guys have? People focus on those other three teams like, I can't believe Texas A&M is playing those bums.
Well, man, here's the thing. I think, one, for football, I think it's good. And I'm going to say this. People don't believe this, and I really do. But first, we went and played Clemson in a home-and-home. I mean, there's not a bigger non-conference. We play in the best
we appreciate
conference
you
in that.
For doing
yeah,
that.
Thank you.
And also, but here, I believe if we don't spread the wealth, and I know I'm not one of these coaches who says you should play all Power Five teams. Where do these guys, the money for them to have their programs, where does it come from? If they don't have these days, where does it come from? And I'm going to tell you something. You say, well, what does that affect us? Well, what about myself, who was not a Division I football player? Would I be sitting here without that opportunity to have a scholarship to play? And then you saying all these high school football players, football has been under an attack for a while about what's going on. And all these guys out there playing football, right, and none of them, all of them are going to be Division I players. They're going to be Division II, 1 FCS, Division III, you know, Division III NAIA players. Well, when those guys quit playing football because there's no opportunities in college, if we don't filter that money down, if it doesn't filter into those programs, then you're going to kill high school football. And then the great players in which we're able to recruit, they're not going to be there and developed as much because it's not going to be, football's not going to be as big. And I truly believe that.
That's an interesting point because people don't look at it that way. No one looks at it from how it helps out the Lamars and the Texas A's and UTSA's to play you guys. They'll look at it as in, why don't you guys just play against teams on your level so that we can see who's better, who's worse. But I agree with you and I like what it does for those schools.
It generates income all the way down and you got to do it. And that goes back into high school football. Because if those kids don't have the opportunities to have, all right, not everybody's a Division I player. They can be an FCS player. If they know they don't have that opportunity to go to college, which is that the only way a lot of those kids go, they're going to expand into other sports and figure out ways to get scholarships in other sports.
Coach, it was brought up earlier today to Kirby Smart when he was at the podium about the record of Saban's former assistants against him. Somebody's still got to beat him. How can it be your team?
Line up and play 60 minutes of football. I mean, you got to go play this. And they've established themselves. He's established himself as a great coach, and they have a great program. You just got to line up and play them. I mean, you got to go play a very good football game for 60 minutes, and don't worry about the outcome. Go play them. All right, it's Alabama. Okay, we play them every week. Expect to beat them. Look to beat them. They expect to win, so don't we? And I think that's the approach you have to take. And when you're in that moment to beat them, don't expect like you shouldn't be there.
As we wrap up here, I want to know what went into the selection of the tie, because I think it's especially strong this year.
Well, I got a little A&M in it. Got a little A&M. Still got a little of the blue suits. I got a little match there. A little mix and match. So
Joey would like to borrow it later, so we'll work on that.
Yeah, when we get done, I'm going to need that for the show later.
Yeah, we're going to do a little trade out. Thanks
I'll
so much,
that.
Jimbo Fisher.
You're welcome.
Yeah, Joey did not get the tie. And Greg McElroy, glad we could treat you to that interview while you were taking a little break there. You didn't get invited to it. Anyway, the
that was
Aggies.
The best TV of the day.
Wasn't
actually.
It room for a great question that I wanted to ask after
no,
Joey
you didn't have
filled
time.
It up.
The Aggies 2019 schedule is a gauntlet. And Joey, you referenced it. They have to play the top four teams in the nation, according to FPI, with games against Clemson, Bama, Georgia, and LSU. Make it even tougher. Three of those four games are on the road. So it's going to be difficult for them. But let's talk Texas versus Texas A&M. If you had to predict it, who has the better season, Greg?
No, I would lean Texas. And it's really, it has nothing to do with what Texas A&M has coming back, and it really doesn't have a whole lot to do with what Texas has coming back. It has everything to do with the schedule. I mean, your record really dictates who you are. And I look at what I expect Texas's record to be at season's end, and I happen to think it's going to be quite a bit better than what A&M's is. Now, A&M is coming. There's no denying with what Jimbo's done on the recruiting trail, with the foundations and the principles that he's trying to instill in that program. It's only a matter of time until they get up there with the Clemsons of the world, the Georgias, the Alabamas, you name it. They're coming. They're just not there yet. I think Texas, because they started their rebuild just a little bit sooner, is a little bit further ahead at this point.
I agree. Texas, the schedule, if you just compare them, when we talked Texas A&M and the question didn't get in, we talked about their defense, only returning four starters, and they're going against Georgia, they're going against Alabama, they're going against Clemson, three of the most explosive offenses in college football, and Jimbo Fisher's returning a team on defense, just four starters. Now, he named some other guys that will come in and play, but that's a tall order to ask these new players to stop offenses like Alabama and Clemson, especially as explosive as they are on the outside. Texas is a team that if this was September and we were picking who was going to win conferences, which we're not, I may be leaning Texas to win the Big 12. So they will have the better season.
Yeah, it's interesting. Jimbo Fisher did talk about how he likes his D-line. He likes that a lot, at least the upfront part of his defense. And then he also said he likes a couple of his freshman tight ends, but they are young. So yes, we'll see how that all ends up shaking out. All right, Sierra hosts the 5th Annual Sports Humanitarian Awards Thursday at 7 p.m. Eastern on ESPN. It's a night to honor athletes, teams, and sports industry professionals who use the power of sport to make a difference throughout the world. The net proceeds of this event benefit the Stuart Scott Memorial Cancer Research Fund at the V Foundation. Great event. $7.5 million has been donated to the community on behalf of these awards. We'll wrap up from Hoover in just a bit.
Football Live is brought to you by State Farm. Talk to an agent today at 800-STATE-FARM.
And we're back in Hoover. Sorry, guys. I think you were both surprised by that, but you should have known we were coming back.
Nobody is saying you're back on. It's just
so no. Yeah, they actually were. But anyway, tomorrow, big day in the media days world because Nick Saban will hit the podium here, and that just means things are crazy here, and also Dabo Swinney as well. So if you think about their respective press conferences, who are you more excited to hear from?
Seems like Nick always has something on his mind
always, that
he has prepared for this moment.
Yep, so that's,
and it's fun to watch him walk in with the huge crowd following him.
Oh, yeah.
Greg, you got 2 seconds. Who do you want?
Since he took Saban, I'll take Sweeney. Why not?
All right, there we go. Make sure you check out the College Football Live podcast. You can get it wherever you get your podcasts. And we will see you tomorrow, same time, same place, from Hoover, Alabama at SEC Media Days. It'll be day 3 at that point, and it'll be Saban time.